Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Rav Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Reuven Hoffman, and Barry Hoffman. We have two subjects that we want to speak about on this week's very important program, major announcement that we're going to make. The first is why we are supporting Moshe Feiglin and his new party, the Zehut Party, in Israel's next Knesset elections, its next parliamentary elections. We're going to explain why we think Feiglin and the Zehut Party are the best choice and what we plan to do to help him. And the second thing we're going to discuss, we've discussed many aspects of why Donald Trump is a disastrous candidate, a terrible candidate, would be a terrible president. But we want to discuss something in more detail about him. He would probably be the most ignorant president we have ever had, if God forbid he is elected. He is the most ignorant candidate running for president, possibly in American history. We're going to go into more detail. But first, let's talk about Moshe Feiglin. Israel has a parliamentary system of elections, as we've mentioned on prior programs. The Israeli parliament is called the Knesset, and they have 120 members of the Knesset, and those 120 members determine who the prime minister is and all the cabinet members. And you need at least 4 seats out of the 120 to pass the minimum threshold to get into the Knesset. You need to win 4 out of the 120 seats, which comes to 3.25% of the vote, 3.25% of the vote. That's the minimum threshold to pass. Okay, so that's some of the background on what you need to get into the Knesset to win in the election. It's proportional representation. You vote by party. You don't vote by candidate. In other words, you vote Zehut or Likud or any of the other parties running. You do not vote by the candidate. You vote for the party. That's how the system works. When will the next election be? That's something we don't know, because you can have elections once every 4.5 years if the government maintains its parliamentary majority. But if the government loses its parliamentary majority, and this is based on the British parliamentary system and other parliamentary systems that exist around the world, if the government loses its parliamentary majority and a majority vote no confidence in the government, then the government falls, and then you have new elections. So you've had times when Israel has had an election once every 4 years or 4.5 years, if the government lasts for the full term. You've had other situations where sometimes you have an election 18 months later or 2 years later. You've had that also happen in Israel. So you never know for sure. It's been about 18 months since the last election. And so another election, if they have, there always is talk about problems with the current government. The possibility exists you could have another election in 6 months, or you could have another election in 2 years. You could have another election in 3 years. Who knows? But we are going now with Feiglin and with the Zehut Party. We believe in going early with a candidate. If we find the right candidate and find the right party, we believe in going early. Why? Because then we can make many, many videos for that candidate. We're going to do many videos, especially in Hebrew. And we can do many posts on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and on our main Hebrew page. We could conduct, in other words, a big campaign explaining all of the issues and reaching people over and over again with our message and reaching new people all the time, because new people come all the time when you have many new videos. How much is our support worth to Moshe Feiglin? We'll talk about that in a moment, but first, I want to explain why Feiglin, I think, is the best choice. Feiglin proposes, and as far as I know, he and his party are the only party that in their platform, official platform, propose a program to encourage the millions of Arabs living in Israel to leave in exchange for compensation, to permanently leave in exchange for compensation. That's the only solution to Israel's demographic crisis, its security crisis, all the other problems it has in terms of the danger to the Jewish majority in Israel. The only realistic approach is the Kahanist approach of encouraging them to leave with compensation. Feiglin has a program that proposes that. He's the only party that has proposed that. In addition to that, Feiglin believes in Jewish education for Jewish kids and Jewish identity, and he wants Jewish sovereignty over all of Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, everything that every area in the land of Israel controlled by the state of Israel. He wants Jewish sovereignty there. He wants Jewish settlement. He supports the Jewish settlement and the Jewish settlers. And so on that issue, he doesn't compromise, and he's very good on that issue. In addition to that, Feiglin is for a free market economy. He wants to liberate Jewish brain power, which is a very powerful weapon that God has given us. He wants to liberate Jewish brain power so that Jews can build a free market economy that will be the envy of the world. Already, Jewish scientists per capita, when you consider the tiny size of Israel, only 6 million Jews, tiny country that it is, the Jews have per capita far more scientists, far more engineers, far more technical people and technological innovators than any other country in the world, by far, per capita. Per capita means in proportion to population. Far more. In fact, the country that comes in second in the world, the second most advanced country in terms of developing scientists, engineers, inventors, and so on, is Japan. And Israel has about triple the number, proportionally speaking, has about triple the number that Japan has. So Israel's not only number one, but Israel has triple the number of inventors and technology people and scientists that number two, Japan, has. So we're talking about incredible Jewish brain power that God has given the Jewish people. Look, the Jews are 0.2%, 1/5 of 1% of the world's population. I mean, just a joke. Just a joke, like a speck. The Jews are like a speck of humanity. Ridiculous how few Jews there are in the world compared to their accomplishments, and yet they're about 28% of the Nobel Prize winners for science and inventions and technology and medicine. They're about 28%, and they're only 1/5 of 1% of the world's population. So it's just unbelievable how obvious it is that God has given them this tremendous talent. And so you can imagine, if you unleash that talent in the Israeli economy, what type of economy you can build. And that's something Feiglin wants to do. He's against U.S. foreign aid. He wants Israel to be truly independent. He wants Israel to develop her own military and her own weapon systems, be completely independent. So on all of those major issues, he takes the stands that we have been taking over the years, that we as true Kahanists have been taking over the years. He takes those stands, even though he is not a Kahanist, Feiglin is not a Kahanist, and his party, the Zehut party, is not a Kahanist party, but he takes those positions in a way which much more closely resembles the positions of Moreno v'Rabbeinu Harav Meir Kahana Zecher Tzedik v'Kadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo, our great leader of blessed memory, Rabbi Kahana. He takes his positions far, his stands on the issues resemble Rabbi Kahana's stands on the issues far more than any other party. Now, it is true that there is another party in Israel that will be running with people who also support Rabbi Kahana, or were supporters of his at one time. The party of Baruch Marzel, Itamar Ben-Gvir, and Michael Ben-Ari. They have a party also that runs, that they've run already 5 or 6 times for the Knesset. And they'll probably run again. They say they're going to run again. We're not running against them. We have nothing against them. We just prefer Moshe Feiglin. We think that his stands on the issues are closer to what we stand for, and we prefer his candidacy and his party. We're not running against them. We're running for Moshe Feiglin. Now, what is our support count for? And this is something we discussed to a certain degree last week, but I'm going to go into it again this week in a little more detail. You need about 160,000 votes to get that 3.25% threshold, to meet that threshold, so you get 4 seats in the Knesset and you're in. You got to get that minimum to get in. You need at least 3.25%, which comes to 4 out of the 120 seats in the Knesset. That comes to about 160,000 votes. It depends, of course, on turnout. You know, if the turnout is higher, you need more. If the turnout is lower, you need less. But let's say 160,000 votes. If you need 160,000 votes, And we bring, and if we could bring to Feiglin, we and our movement in Israel, our Hebrew movement in Israel, with all the videos we're going to do and reaching large numbers of people, tens of thousands of people with our message, and constantly bringing these videos and constantly reaching new people, and doing a concerted, continuous campaign for him, we could potentially deliver 20, 30,000 votes to him, tens of thousands of voters to him. We can convince tens of thousands of people to vote for him who were not going to vote for him before. Before our support, they would not have voted for it. They would have voted for another party or other parties. So we do have the potential to make a significant difference, because that could be the difference between victory and defeat. Well, if he, let's say he has 140,000 people voting for him. And again, I don't know what he would have. But if we add 20,000 to it, we could make the difference to possibly be the difference between victory and defeat. I don't know if we're going to succeed. I can't promise success. Don't know if we're going to succeed. You've seen us do things that are successful, and you've seen us do things where we weren't successful. You saw in the United States, we supported Ted Cruz for president. We tried our best. We weren't able to get Ted Cruz the Republican nomination for president. That would have been quite a mission for an organization with our budget to do. But we tried our best. In this case, I think our potential impact would be much greater because Israel is a much smaller country. But in any event, we're going to do the best we can. You're going to see a lot of our activity related to our effort to help him, God willing. We hope that things move in the right direction, God willing, and that we're able to help him. And we'll see what happens. We'll see how it works out. He may, in the end, run in a coalition with other parties. He may not run by himself in order to make sure that he gets enough votes to pass, because by himself he may not be able to pass the minimum threshold. I don't know. We'll see. That's a decision he's going to have to make. But we will do the best we can to help him as long as he remains faithful to his principles. And he, over the years, has been pretty faithful to his principles. He is an honest person, in my view, and a principled person. So that's the exciting new thing we're doing in Israel, and I hope you'll want to be a part of it. I hope you'll want to help us. Now, Donald Trump. You know, we're coming close to the election, and it looks like it's going to be a close election after all, because we've had all these surprises. The latest surprise, the latest bombshell involving Hillary Clinton doesn't surprise us. Nothing with the Clintons surprises us, because they are disgusting, corrupt human sewage. And so anything that comes up with them doesn't surprise us. But despite that, the race remains close. If only Ted Cruz had been her opponent, you can imagine with all this stuff coming out about her, if she had been running against a clean, honest, decent candidate like Ted Cruz, even though they would have said he's too conservative, he's too extreme, he's this right-winger, they would have said all that. But, you know, with all this coming out about her, I think Cruz would beat her in this election. In this election, I think Cruz would have won. Trump is the one candidate that I think may not win, despite all the advantages that are being thrown his way, including last-minute FBI investigations and other things that should guarantee his victory. But because it's Trump, I have a feeling that we may not see that. But you know, one thing about Trump that perhaps we haven't emphasized enough is what an unbelievably ignorant candidate he truly is. His ignorance is exceeded only by his arrogance. He is so ignorant, it's beyond belief. You know, it's one thing to be ignorant, which is terrible if you're running for president. It's another thing to be arrogant, which is also a bad characteristic for a leader. He's both ignorant and arrogant, which makes him completely unacceptable as a leader. You remember just a few examples. Out of a million, if I wanted to give you all the examples of his unbelievable ignorance, of showing what a blathering idiot he is, if I had to give you all these examples, you know, this show would go on for the next 2 years. We'd have to have a continuous show for the next 2 years just to give you all the examples. And you know, I'm not running for dog catcher, and I know 100 times more about foreign policy and the economy than he does. 100 times more, and I'm not running for anything. I'm nobody. I'm not running for anything. and I know 100 times more than he does, and he has the nerve to want to be president. And you know, we've had other ignorant presidents. We had George W. Bush, who was also a moron. And there have been other imbeciles. Gerald Ford was a moron. You've had other imbeciles who were president of the United States. But at least Gerald Ford, George W. Bush, and these other morons, at least they did learn. Like, for instance, when George W. Bush had his debate with Al Gore, he was able to answer all the questions. He was familiar with all the material because he studied, because he went over it, because he had the experts grilling him and explaining to him, and you know, he studied the material, which is what you got to do when you're running for president. This is the first time with Donald Trump we have a candidate who is too lazy to even learn. He might be also too stupid to learn, but he's stupid and ignorant and lazy, and he doesn't even want to learn. He has no idea what he's talking about. You remember when he told George Stephanopoulos of ABC News that he promises him that Vladimir Putin is not going to invade the Ukraine. He's not going to invade Ukraine. I know they don't like when you say the Ukraine or Ukraine. I don't care about all that nonsense. But anyway, he said, I promise you, I guarantee you, that Putin is not going to invade you. Is not going to invade Ukraine. He's not going to do it. And Stephanopoulos, this was a couple of months ago, and Stephanopoulos pointed out to him, he says, isn't he already in Ukraine? Hasn't he already invaded Crimea? Hasn't he already invaded Ukraine? The Russian army has been there occupying a huge chunk of Ukraine now for quite a while already. I mean, well, what the hell is Trump, what planet has Trump been on? Then Trump changed his answer when he realized that he was caught again being a buffoon, being a clown, being an imbecile. He changed his answer and tried to get out of it with some sort of evasive nonsense, but the fact is, he didn't even know. He was assuring us that Trump is not going to invade Ukraine when Trump has already been in Ukraine and the Russian army has been there occupying a huge part of Ukraine now. And this is something Trump didn't even know. You remember in the debate during the primaries, Trump was talking about the trade. They were asking about this, about a trade deal, about an international trade deal. And Trump said the problem is China is going to take advantage in this trade deal, and China is going to get all the benefits, and China is stealing our jobs and robbing us blind, and so on and so forth. Until it was pointed out to him by one of the other candidates, China is not part of the trade deal. This trade deal has nothing to do with China. China is not a signatory to the trade deal. China is not a party to the trade deal. China is not involved in this trade deal. Trump didn't know that. He assumed trade deal China. And was taking stands on the issues based upon his ignorance, based upon his buffoonery. Perhaps the worst example was involving the nuclear triad. He was asked by a conservative, in one of the debates during the primaries, he was asked by a conservative radio talk show host who now has announced, he's one of many conservative leaders who is refusing to support Trump. He said, I'm not going to support Trump. He did initially support Trump, but then he pulled his support back and said, I can't support him anymore. It's just too much. Anyway, this conservative radio commentator in the debate asked him about the nuclear triad. Trump had no idea what the nuclear triad was. He had no idea. The nuclear triad, which is something that is essential to the survival and defense and life of America and the free world and the Western world. And he had no idea what this is. Trump didn't even know what he was talking about. He had no idea what this was all about. He couldn't describe the nuclear triad. He couldn't describe his position on the nuclear triad. He was unable to do it. And this really demonstrates what a dangerous situation we're in. Maybe that's why, when he meets with generals and advisors, he says to them, if we have nuclear bombs, why don't we use them? That's what he said. We've shown you video with people attesting to the fact that he has said to them, we have nuclear weapons, why don't we use them? And he has said that I'm not ruling out using nuclear weapons even in Europe. I'm not going to rule out using nuclear weapons. He runs around openly threatening to use nuclear weapons and start nuclear war. And of course he wants to spread the nuclear plague all over the world. He wants to give nuclear weapons to Saudi Arabia, South Korea, and Japan, something we've mentioned many times, which I think is perhaps the most frightening part of Donald Trump's ignorant, insane program and policies. And all the Trumpsters ignore all of this. They do so at their own peril, because his insane, ignorant policies that he's advocating will put them and their families and the lives of all Americans in grave danger. When Trump is confronted by his ignorance, and when it's proven that he's an imbecile and that he's ignorant, what does he do? All of his answers, even in the debates with Hillary Clinton, in all three debates, he just spouts ignorant, empty rhetoric and slogans. He gives you slogans and rhetoric, but he has no understanding of the issues themselves. He doesn't answer the questions. He doesn't deal with the issues. He never gives you true specifics because he doesn't know any specifics. He has no idea what he's talking about. He literally knows nothing about the most basic and fundamental and elementary parts of foreign policy, domestic policy, the economy, has no idea what he's talking about. This incredible ignorance and laziness, and he tries to cover it again with empty slogans, and when he answers questions, he gives you empty slogans and empty rhetoric. This ignorance and laziness really is a danger, a mortal danger to the United States, to Israel, to the Western world. Because he not only is he arrogant and cruel and evil and a narcissist, an egomaniac, a megalomaniac, all of these disgusting characteristics of his that really would set the worst example in terms of what a leader should be. He's just, not only is he a complete embarrassment to have a leader like this, should be a complete embarrassment, he's an absolute clown. But worst of all, his ignorance is so dangerous. It's so dangerous it could lead to nuclear holocaust. The guy doesn't understand what he's doing. He doesn't understand what he's playing with. We'll see on Election Day, November 8th, what happens. You know our position. We don't support Donald Trump, and we don't support Hillary Clinton. We don't support any of the candidates. We're not voting for any of the candidates. Our recommendation is either don't vote for president. For president, don't vote. Actually, for president, don't vote. Or, if you want to vote, write in the name of Ted Cruz. You can write in Ted Cruz's name. I know some people who have skipped the presidential race, just didn't vote. And I know other people who have written in Ted Cruz's name. That's what our recommendation is. Definitely, we oppose voting either for Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. I know I don't have to convince you about Hillary Clinton. I know that our members are not going to vote for her. But about Donald Trump, unfortunately, we have people who are just... And, you know, the fact that they ignore everything that has happened is just astounding. It's just astounding. And it's hard for me to respect people who ignore all of this and are willing to put all of us in danger and still continue to admire this individual. Admire? What is there to admire about him? He's cruel, he's evil, he's ignorant, he's lazy, he's stupid. I mean, he's scum. He's pure slime. I mean, it's disgusting. And Jews who support him, even after they've heard why he's bad for Israel and don't care and still continue to support him, you are a self-hating Jew if you do that. If you continue to do that knowing the bad things he said about Israel and you don't care about that, then you're a self-hating Jew. And believe me, you'll answer for it on Yom HaDin, on Judgment Day, unless you change your ways very quickly. We got a lot to do. The election, God willing, will be over in a little bit more than a week, and we have to begin a campaign in Israel for Moshe Feiglin, and then we're going to begin an English language campaign as well to deal with the challenges we have here in the United States. We need to work together as a team. We need to work together as a team so that there is a true right-wing voice that will fight for the survival of America, Israel, the Western world, that will fight for true principles. We need your help. There are four things we ask you to do every week. Number one, we need your prayers. Prayer makes a big difference. Please pray for our success. Number two, be active on our main pages. Our English main page is jtf.org, which is put together by the great Shlomo. He has seven or eight new articles every single day on that page. It's the best page on the internet, jtf.org. The Hebrew page, if you speak Hebrew, is hayamin.org, hayamin.org. If you speak Hebrew, please be active on that page. The third thing we ask you to do is promote our Hebrew and English videos. When you see our Hebrew and English videos, whether they're on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter or on our main pages or on our forums, wherever you see them, please promote them. And the fourth thing, of course, we need your financial support. Our downfall is the fact that we don't have a decent sized budget, that we don't have a budget that enables us to reach, instead of thousands of people, we should be reaching millions of people. What a different world this would be if we were reaching millions of people and if we became a mass movement, because that's what would happen. We'd become a mass movement if that happened. But we still have to do the best we can with what we have, and we still can make a difference with what we have. Every check, every money order, every cash donation sent to our post office box does make a difference. God bless the great JTFers who are sending checks, money orders, cash donations to our post office box. It really does make a difference. God bless you. If you prefer, for convenience sake, to support us online instead, you can just go to our PayPal account, which is on our Hebrew main page on top in English, the only word in English on the Hebrew main page. There's a donate button. You click on the donate button, and in a couple of minutes, you can very conveniently, through PayPal, help us online. Let's work together. We got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of things to do. It's going to be a very busy, active time for us. If we work together as a team, we can still work to make this a better world. Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.